Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
GS 104.1 FM KMOX, a few minutes past 3 p.m. Happy Monday to everybody. Let's do a little DGS happy hour. I'm going to start it off with, you guessed it, something existential. I got to quit gummies. It's just ruining the show. Ruining the show.
Why is it ruining it?
I don't know. I just feel like I'm always like, if you were a potato chip.
Well, they're also some of the things we get the most comments on from listeners.
This is true.
Ruffles.
It is genius. That would be a pretty good one, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'll take Ruffles.
Yeah. I might be a Cheeto.
Kettle. Anybody else
kettle.
Rach?
Maybe like a nice salt and vinegar kettle chip.
There you go.
Here's my question. As we know, in this country, we pretty much make this social contract where we're going to go to school for 15 years plus, then we're going to work for 40, and then we're going to survive in some way for another 20, 25 years. Should there be an alternate route for people who say, I just don't want to do that? I'm willing to be productive. Should there be like a... It's the word I'm looking for. There's a perfect word, like a course or a trail to navigate. If you just go, I don't want to do it. Don't want to go to school all those years. I don't want to be an accountant. I don't want to be this. Should there be something other than poverty that people can go do?
Well, I mean, the problem is, at what age are we capable of making decisions for ourselves? Because we can't legally make decisions for ourselves till we're 18. Right? So, I mean, you don't want like a 10-year-old to opt out of school because they don't like homework.
Right, but don't get too caught up in that. Just more in general. Even if you did it by family.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the path out of that is being a creative person. Do comedy, do music, do art, do something like that. I mean, again, I think it's hard. Because you are committing to risk there, right? Right. There's a difference between getting a job as even a young lawyer, getting a job at a law firm, and you got a path and there's a structure to it versus, well, you'll do as well as people like your stuff. I think that's kind of the...
I guess I'm thinking more like if there were sanctioned communes like in Midsummer. Not a great example, but... You know, where it's just like, oh, yeah, no, Glover, yeah, he and his family, they're part of the Trugadals, and they raise food, and they raise goats, and they write, and they...
So a hippie commune.
Kind of.
Yeah, like validity of those things in society.
Respect and validity.
Yeah, notwithstanding, those things do exist.
But like, it's not a life of luxury.
It's not a life of luxury, and it's not like... like, society doesn't reward necessarily, I think, like, okay, the greater society.
Let me take another shot at this. When you look at society the way it is, and if you don't quite fit in or you don't quite like it, or someone doesn't, do you go, wish in one hand, crap in the other, too bad, so sad, if you don't do what society is going to favor, then you're going to be poor and you might die? Or do you look at it and go, how did we get here? We're just born in this place, and then we got to pay to stay here. And what's up with that? And what's up with this?
So what's the piece of the puzzle that makes someone poor? Like not going to college or...
not being productive in the way that our society thinks of productive.
Okay. I don't know the solution for, like, I want the spoils of a society without contributing to that society. I don't think there's a way to make that work. So if what you seek is, like... like material things, like you're going to have to apply yourself to one of these areas of society that results in material things.
And I guess we have a pretty good example of it just looking at like the way America runs itself, the way Japan runs itself.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
The Nordic countries, yeah. They're way different than we are. They're much smaller. They have higher taxes.
Yep.
Everything's free.
I think that would be, so clearly we've evolved this way. Because back in the day, it was beneficial to the tribe that each person had something to contribute.
Aha.
Because you couldn't survive without it.
Until your guys, the man, took that and monetized it.
Well, until it grew extra large, right? Until it grew beyond, well, let's be honest, let's be beyond even the size of some continents. Part of our problem here is that we're so big. And it's really hard to find it. I mean, like, how do you... So we talk about the smaller countries. Like, if you wanted to live more of that lifestyle, there are places in the world you could try to move to that are going to accommodate less of the being a cog in the machine, right?
Yeah.
Where it works a little differently and there are places, but it's maybe not your place, or like where you live. You can try to create it, but it's so big at this point, I don't know that you can go any other direction. Because I think at its root, it was, this is basic survival for our species. If everybody in our group doesn't do something, we're not going to make it. We have to have warriors, and we have to have hunters, and we have to have, maybe those skills overlap, so maybe they do a little bit of both. We have to have people who care for the kids during the daytime when the hunters are out hunting. We have to have all of these different things. You have to have a medicine person. You have to have people who know how to run the crops. And that's how society built. Instead, because before that, wasn't everybody just a nomad? You're just kind of like hunting and gathering. Maybe that's the path. If that's what you want, is more of just the freedom to do what you want as opposed to luxury. I think luxury comes with complexity.
Okay. Interesting thought.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was trying to get at, too, is it's like, I think you can absolutely exist in American society without buying into like the typical American blueprint of a life. But what you have to accept is that like people are going to look at you and be like, oh, okay, well, you know, like they're going to look, people are going to look down.
You're
going to
be an outlier.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. But you have to have the confidence to make that work for yourself. I don't know if there's a way to have your cake and eat it too and be like, I'm not existing within this society, but please society, give me all of your respect. Like, I don't know how that would work really.
I mean, because what's the equivalent? I mean, like, I know this is one version of it, but you can be the live off the land person. Just have a cabin and hunt what you eat, grow what you eat. You can do that.
Now I could do that for up to 2 weeks. And I'd be dead.
I know, but like, it's an option. But what would the other option of that look like?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to live in a city or in a suburb, where are you going to live? How are you going to make the money to live there?
In your experience, 34 years, 52, 53 years, do you look at the United States the way we have it? And I know, Wheels, that you hate billionaires.
Not all of them.
But do you look
just
at
the jerks.
It, our system, and go, fair enough. Okay. Everyone gets to choose. You can be a gunner and try to be Jeff Bezos, or you can live in a monastery. Like, okay.
I actually think the best version of it all is when all things are at least philosophically geared towards what's good for the group. And that doesn't mean we don't have billionaires, but maybe we don't allow billionaires the amount of power that we allow them now beyond their financial means. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay to have success, and it should be encouraged, because how else do you have innovation? How else do you find groundbreaking things without someone having the incentive to do it? You know what I mean? I mean, like, yeah. if you want people to push the boundaries and do great things and do bigger things and new things, there has to be some reward at the end of it. And it doesn't have to be billions, but I mean, that's one thing that people are motivated by. What motivates people to do things? Because we do need to innovate. We do need new things. We do need new ideas. At the same time, there should be more protections for the majority of people. Because most people, just by the odds, forget how hard you work. This goes back to the thing we talked about earlier with Bernie. There are a lot of people that worked at full capacity, 100% effort, and they can't make billions or more millions or whatever based on either capability or just luck. Because some of getting to those levels is luck. Right? I mean, just like a professional athlete, some of it's luck. You're born 6'8" and you have the ability to, you're coordinated. Like, that's not because you did it. You were born like that. There's some luck involved in all success. It's not entirely luck, but there is an element of it. Even your intelligence level is somewhat luck. You're born with a certain capability. You can maximize what you have, but it's not like everybody can be Albert Einstein.
Rach?
So the original question is, do I think society is working for everyone as it exists now?
No, not exactly. More just spitballing. More like you're an alien, you land, you get the gist of it. Do you look at our society and go, fair enough?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for the most part. I mean, there are parts of society that I think maybe if you're a part of that society, you're caught up and you think everyone's doing... Like, for example... we've talked before, Dave, about like how for like my generation and the generation your son is in, we don't really have this huge drive to like, I'm going to get my mini mansion in the suburbs. A big reason for that is it feels more out of reach. Mm-hmm. But there's this sentiment, I think, a lot from older people that it's like there's some sort of moral failing that I don't strive for the mini mansion. As if that's like the ultimate way to live. I think you just have to figure out what works for you.
Yes.
And go from there and kind of like, you know, you want to exist within society. You want to get along. You don't want to hurt other people. But at the same time, like, who cares what the rest of society thinks? You need to pursue what's going to actually fulfill you and what's doable in your life.
And you know, one thing I think happens a lot is that, and maybe I'm just such a late bloomer that it's been true in my life. But it seems to me like it takes you into your at least early middle age, if not full middle age, to really go, oh, okay, this is who I am, and I'm different in these ways. These are my choices. Holy crap, I'm 61. You know what I mean? I think that probably happens to a lot of people.
I think you're right.
Not so much that you're a CEO and you realize you should have been a bohemian and, you know, just lived the life of a hippie, but... It's just kind of a dickhead. It takes a certain time in life to figure it out at all.
Yeah.
And so many times by that time, you're sort of committed.
I mean, the thing you're talking about is basically a form of wisdom, right?
Yes.
But it takes experience to gain it.
Yes.
You can't just read it and you don't just inherently have it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a line about that something like... youth is wasted on the young or something like that. I forget. It might be that, but it's something loosely like that. In other words, when you don't know things, you have all these great benefits, but you don't know how to put them all to use because you can't. You can't know what a 50-year-old knows when you're 20.
Yeah. I it's so absolutely true for me. At 61, if I could truly start over and know what I know now, my life would be completely different. 100%. And I think I said that in my 40s, but I was wrong.
Yeah. And you're probably, you know, 10 years, probably look back and say you didn't know enough here now.
But then again, I have acquired my wisdom through combat.
Sure.
Not by being smart, not by listening to my elders, not by reading. I did all those things, but I did them, one, performatively, and two, just for the sake of them. And whatever wisdom there was to take, I'm like, oh, that's a piece of wisdom I'm going to stick in my pocket. Whoops, I dropped it. It was only until life kicked the crap out of me that I figured anything out.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You make me weak. 324 DGS. Dave Murray joins us on the other side of this break. Who's got something else they want to jump in for the DJ's happy hour? Mr. Wheeler?
I got one. Andrew and I were kicking this around pre-show. So if I told you that one of the biggest stars in Hollywood is a rage baiter on TikTok, that they have an anonymous account and they go on there just to mess with people because it makes them laugh, could you guess who that is?
No. Kevin Wheeler.
Can you give us a hint?
I can give you some. So this is a person... This person admitted this in an interview, so this is not like a rumor.
Okay.
This is a person who leads movies in this current day and age. Relatively, I mean, to our viewpoint, I would say on the relatively young side, but not like brand new.
Okay.
Is it a fella or a female?
It's a lady.
Is it Jennifer Lawrence?
It is.
I knew it.
I knew it. That was the whole point of my question. Was would anybody get it?
I just guessed. But of all the people, she just seems like she would admit that in an interview, first of all. Like,
she did.
She does keep it pretty real. And yeah, she seems like she would get entertainment out of doing that.
So even someone that's wildly successful and super wealthy enjoys just rage baiting people on social media. Anonymously, of course. Hmm. I find that to be a little weird. I'm not going to lie. I feel like if I was... I mean... I don't do it now. I could. I could easily have an anonymous account where I'm just picking fights. I don't do it now. Why would I do that if I was that wealthy and successful?
I feel like here's the trouble, right? Is that you'd like to think, right? You'd like to think that if you hit that level of like success and wealth and whatever, you'd like to think like you would be above feeling like you want to
rage bait
people on TikTok. Or whatever. And I think the reason that this sounds so troubling to us, or at least to me, is that it perhaps is proof that it doesn't. Even if you were to achieve massive success and Oscar statuettes and supreme wealth.
Well, I mean, those things don't necessarily make you happy. Those things don't necessarily fulfill you. Or make you feel like your life is good.
Yeah, that sucks.
If you don't...
What are we all working so hard
for? But it does for other people, though. That's the point. Like, some people... I mean, I would guess the majority of people in her position aren't doing that.
Right. But what I'm trying to say is this is just proof that it's like, oh, I reached my goal. I'm good. Like, happily ever after, that is not a real thing at all. Because Jennifer Lawrence, she has an Oscar. She has, I think, another kid on the way. She has a kid with her husband. She has millions of dollars, gorgeous woman, famous. Anyone would know her anywhere. And I'm not saying like, and she has a darkness looming inside her, but there's something going on where she's like, oh, this is fun. I'm getting something out of this. Like, if you don't address whatever that is inside of you,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what like material things or accomplishments you can point to. Like, if you have a problem within yourself, and I'm not saying Jennifer Lawrence does.
No, that's
just
a good
part
point,
of the
though.
Example. If you have a problem within yourself that you haven't fixed yet, like, it's going to keep sticking around.
Yeah, good call.
Welcome back, guys. DJS from the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Desk. Dave Murray joins us.
I should have texted Andrew for a different bump-in song because today is the 50th anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Wow.
That's what Stone in Love is about, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's right.
So we actually, it turns out it's a good song.
Okay.
He's right.
Yeah,
okay.
I was sitting songs. Here thinking, how is those two things connected?
I remember so well when I started getting into music. And then I heard someone say, like, I love every kind of music. And I'm like, that's going to be me. And I remember trying to love every kind of music, and I ran into the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Like, yeah, there's no love in this.
Oh, come on. That's the greatest weather song story ever. Love it.
I guess. You got eyes.
No, I'm looking.
You got eyes popping out of heads. And
yeah, you know, it's a fascinating story, especially the first time you heard it. It's like, oh, wow.
I'll tell you this, though. I really do, and Wheels, this is for you, too, growing up where you did. I am sure that I completely underestimate the Great Lakes and how dangerous they are and how big they are and the shipping lanes.
Oh, yeah, they're huge.
To me, they're like a bigger version of the Ozarks.
Oh, no.
No.
They're like small oceans.
Yeah, they're an ocean. For all practical purposes, they're oceans.
Dave, can I ask, what are some other great weather songs in pop culture?
I Love a Rainy Night, Eddie Rabbit. Okay. Let It Rain, Clapton.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's a couple right there off the top.
Isn't there a song that's got about like the lightning and the thunder?
He's got a whole playlist. He's got a whole mixtape.
That's right.
It's just weather songs.
Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
There you go.
See? I can play.
He puts it on and he just stares at Janice until she notices that it's all weather related. She goes, "Oh, is this your weather play?" And he's like, "Yeah,
she's into weather too." So
thunder.
One of my first memories was my mom had a cassette of Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
There you go.
Listening to that in the van, and I was like, man, I hate this.
That's a great song. I was literally just about to say what a great song that is.
I'm Team Rage on that one.
You know what weather song terrified me as a kid? The Itsy Bitsy Spider.
There's a lot of drama in that song.
A lot of drama.
Well, is it the spark that it's a spider? What if it was a...
human hand?
Just like a little cute guy instead of a spider.
Yeah, it was more like the fact that it just comes... and of course, I was little, so I believed it. I didn't realize what songs were. And like when it comes... doesn't it come back out? The spigot or something like that?
Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Yeah, out came the sun and dried up all the rain. And then he climbs up again.
And then the spider comes out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any Sisyphean legend, if ever there was
gutter
one.
Gutter just scared the hell out of me.
What's that on your shoulder, Dave?
Why the gutter?
There's something on your shoulder.
Because the Itsy Bitsy Spider drew up the
water spout.
Why is that the thing that bothers you, though? Not the spider. The spider's the scary part.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they came out the gutters.
Oh, okay.
In my mind.
Yeah.
And so I would give a really wide berth.
How were you feeling about, this isn't weather
related. But he was Itsy Bitsy. Why would that be weird?
Yeah, you don't know where the Itsy Bitsies go.
What about Humpty Dumpty? Did that one screw you up pretty bad?
Yeah, it did. And Humpty Dumpty was the first time I thought to myself, we're writing these songs. Like, who? What sort of freak?
Let's get a better ending.
What sort of freak do you have to be to write songs?
Yeah, you could have written anything there. You chose to write that.
All those kids' songs, though, that everybody sang, they were from, like, the 1300s England. Weren't they? They were, like, old.
Yeah.
Because one of what's it, Ring Around the Rosie, is about the plague.
Right.
What's Humpty Dumpty again? Is that the...
the egg. Or
No, the real story.
Yeah, it's about the egg that fell off the
wall. No. Yeah. There's a real story behind it. It's like, it's about...
yeah, that is the real story. It was an egg guy. he was real.
It was an egg guy.
It was all the inbreeding of the royal family.
Yeah, he really existed
They just threw an egg once. Dave, save us.
Barry on the comment line here, Katrina and the Wave, Walking on Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
There's like that
song
one
for you.
Dave, would you join us for some Sweet 16 in the future if we did weather-related stuff?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh,
there you go.
That's fun.
Fun.
We'll be in touch before I know it. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, give me a bunch of stuff.
So this week seems like sort of a reverse of last week.
We're on such a crazy ride. Did you see any flurries? Have flurries?
No, I didn't.
At your
place? We had a little tiny bit in Alton. Just a little tiny bit, in the middle of the night, I think.
Was it cold enough for you?
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
I know you did.
I totally loved it. Yeah, if there weren't any flurries on my couch, I didn't see them.
I'm glad they weren't on your couch. we will start to go. Now, tomorrow out the door is very cold. We're going down into the 20s again overnight tonight. Be a lot of clouds around in the morning, so it'll feel extra cold. But we're going to jump to 57 in the afternoon. But it's still windy on Tuesday, so it's going to be chilly. 65 and sunny on Wednesday. Thursday, partly sunny, 64, 65. Friday and Saturday, sunshine, 75 each day. And then on Sunday, periods of rain come in from a storm off the West Coast and 62, even with the rain. Still not too bad.
Man.
I know.
That's just crazy. Headlines are 8.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. According to a new survey conducted online by the Harris Poll, most Americans feel lonely and disconnected. They surveyed more than 3,000 U.S. adults ages 18 and older. 62% of U.S. adults reported social division as a significant source of stress in their lives. And they are also very lonely.
Get a dog. Get a cat. You'll be fine. Just saying.
It does help.
You just shocked Wheeler.
I mean, I like dogs. I think it's about more than that. I do think people need to actively get out more.
Yes.
Like so
and
many
a dog will get you out.
So many habits have changed since COVID. And you have to try to go back to your pre-COVID habits. Because it ain't COVID anymore. And, you know, that changed. I mean, how many, think about that. How many people's lives are just, you used to go do things and then that stopped. And you're like, well, not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to not be lonely if you're just at home all the time.
Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about how Gen Z doesn't drink as much as the previous generations. But a new survey about drinking during the holiday season finds that Gen Z and millennials have big plans to imbibe this holiday season. 77% expect to drink the same amount or more alcohol during the holidays this year. And 64% reported they typically consume more alcohol during the holidays than at other times of the year.
Hmm. Would that be cope, or would that be just, you know, hey, there's you're at parties and there's alcohol at parties?
It's probably both. I think some people probably drink to cope with their situation. I do usually end up drinking more during the holiday season because it's like the work Christmas party or you're getting together with family. I'm not like doing a keg stand or anything like that, but I just don't typically have a drink on a weeknight. That's going to be a lot more available during the holiday season.
What if we were all at a party where they're doing keg stands next to the Christmas tree?
Be fun.
Be a hell of a Christmas party.
Seems to me that the basic way it goes in America, at least, is if you go to college. And most people drink their faces off. And then you either kick it or you don't. And then, like, for me, into my 20s, like law school and stuff, there's about a five-year period that if you saw a snapshot of that, you would think 100% alcoholic. Mm. I was drinking every night, mixed drinks, 10 mixed drinks a night, every night. Ooh. And then when I stopped, I just stopped. It just wasn't a problem.
Was it more social? Out with people? And
it's mostly with my roommate, Rick.
Oh, okay.
We weren't like, you know, out looking for girls or clubbing. We were just hanging out. But it was just like, I'm 24. What am I not going to drink? You know what I mean? So.
U.S. Airlines canceled more than 2,500 weekend flights, largely due to the government shutdown. Hopefully that gets better.
I saw...
Don't you wish we could kick the government in the balls?
Yes.
Like, this is hard. It just isn't fair that we just went through this ridiculously asinine, stupid, no reason for it, zero justification, shutdown, had all this pain, some of it will never be able to be fixed, and now we're just like, okay, we're going to go back. Like,
yeah.
You want to be able to do something.
Yeah. I saw... Adam Kinzinger say over the weekend that he said the whole 10% reduction was for show. He's like, that extra 10% is not going to make the lives of flight traffic controllers, what do they call them?
Yeah.
Air traffic controllers. Yeah. It's not going to make their lives any easier because they still have 90% to deal with and they're still not getting paid.
Right.
Like, how does that fix them not getting paid?
I don't know the answer to this, but do congressmen and senators get paid during
sure
the shutdown?
Yeah. They do.
Well, that's how you stop this monkiness.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the people to vote a difference would be the Congress people. So.
Yes. Well, the old cliche, if we did our jobs, we could make them do theirs. We don't.
Let's see. Leaked documents show that Meta makes billions of dollars from scam ads.
Wow. Oh, man.
Actually, about 10% of its revenue in 2024, that's approximately $16 billion, came from running ads for scams and banned goods.
So they're getting paid to run scams.
Correct.
Or to allow scams to run.
Correct.
And that's not a spot where the government cracks down on a major corporation.
Well, a Meta spokesperson, I'm going to make you feel a lot better, Reels. A Meta spokesperson stated these leaked documents present a distorted view of the company's efforts to combat fraud and scams, and they aggressively fight against such activities.
Sure you do.
So I feel better now because
I'm
Meta
fine.
Says
sure you do.
That they're working on it.
I'm fine.
Sure you do.
I think they really care about us, and they're going to protect
us. It's kind of like the shutdown. Yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah.
I know I'm off on a bender today, but apropos of this story Rach just did, how rare is it that you are positively impressed with a person, group, or company where you go, wow, you're actually better than I thought you would be, as opposed to this where you're like, I thought you guys were pretty essy, and you're even worse than I thought.
That seems to be the more common one right
yes.
there.
Yes.
Like, I knew you guys were shady, but man, I didn't know how bad that was.
Let's do one more story here. Something to keep in mind over the holiday season. Delivery apps just aren't great for the restaurant business. Nearly three quarters of U.S. restaurant meals are now eaten outside the restaurant. And basically 23% of profits in some cases can go to delivery companies.
Mm.
So, I mean, I understand the convenience of doing DoorDash, Uber Eats every once in a while. But ultimately, if you want to support your friends in local restaurants, just swing on by and pick it up. Go in and sit down and enjoy your meal
The restaurant. Point of parliamentary procedure. Isn't it so stupid that Wheeler can say shady, but I can't say my SH word?
I thought he was saying the other one. I was like,
they're just two vowels. That's it. Two different vowels. Do you think, for real, is that still a thing in 30 years?
I hope not. It's so dumb.
You wouldn't think so, especially on like that word.
But I can say.
I mean, I've heard it on CNN. I've heard it on CNBC. I've heard it on.
And it's such a good word.
I mean, but like forgetting the rhyme there, I can say crappy. Why can't I say that? But I can't say the one you like. Because I like that one, too. I just have to take it out of my head. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why, because it means the same thing. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah. When I say Essie, everyone says the word in their head.
Yeah.
Mm. Sure.
Yep. Because it's a good word.
I like that one, too.
It's a good word. I love that word.
You're an angry old man today, Dave.
I am.
That's all right.
I'm questioning. I'm questioning everything. Settling the business of the five families today.
Let your emotions run by anger.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with...
Welcome back, DGS 352. Skip Weber is here, going to do the Sweet 16 at the top of the hour. Hey, Rach, did I talk about this on the air? I remember talking to a friend of mine last week about the strangest part of me seeing Bigfoot. Was that on the air off? If you don't remember it, I'll just do it now.
I feel like it was off the air to a guest in studio, because I vaguely remember this.
So
I do remember it, but I don't remember if it was on or off.
So very quickly, in July of 2020, I was on the top of Vail with my friend Scott Rutledge, and he'd been making fun of me for 3 days because I believe in Bigfoot, and he kept pointing, you know, hey, look, he's in the mountains. And I would, and so we had just taken a picture of me up in this pretty populated area on the top of Vail, and he said, what is that? And I looked down the mountain. I didn't see anything. And I started to say, like, okay, dude, it's not funny anymore. Joke's over. And he said, I'm dead serious. What is that? And Skip, 6'8". And I saw this thing that was every bit of 7.5 feet tall, painfully thin, black from head to toe, acting really weird, moving around like an animal. And then it ran back into the woods. And here's the weirdest part of that. And I think you guys will get this. For about half an hour after that, I knew that this was a simulation. And I knew that it was my simulation and they had glitched. Because what are the friggin' chances that I'm into Bigfoot and I talk about him, and then there he is.
And you're nuts. You're nuts, and here's why.
Okay.
Bigfoot lives in the Smoky Mountains, not the Rocky Mountains.
It's his
what
cousin.
You saw was like a Sasquatch.
Okay.
Bigfoot is in the Appalachian.
Fair enough.
And then the skunk ape is down,
down
south.
In Florida. Right. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Has anything ever happened to you like that where you're like, clearly
on,
it's a
clearly
simulation?
Clearly somebody, yeah. I'm the Truman Show.
And I'm and now, in the Truman Show.
And I just
show.
Discovered it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I really
oh,
was.
There's a million things. Those happen all the time. You're talking about some obscure movie. And yeah, remember the police chief of that movie? And then he's in the next commercial. And it's the only commercial he's ever done. It happens all the time. It's just crazy. What? I've never talked about that before.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.